So how are you all doing? All right. Glad to hear that. You know, I worked hard on this one. In fact, I prepared something for Wednesday and then worked really hard on it till today, because what the scriptures bring to us this morning is not easy to understand. And in fact, I thought twice about looking at the Bible verse, because it doesn't make a lot of sense when you first read through it. The second time you read through it, the third time. And I sat there and thought, I even asked some people, what does this mean? How am I supposed to take this, apply it to my life? How is it supposed to inspire me and take me to places I haven't been before for God's purposes? Pretty tough. Bring out your treasures, both old and new. That's what it says in Matthew 13, verse 52, right after the parables we've been listening to over the last couple of weeks. So the further I thought, the more I thought about this. That's a car that I used to own. It's a 2001 Volkswagen Beetle diesel. And I had it for a couple of years. And people would ask me, well, why did you buy that? I mean, really, when it got 50 miles to the gallon. But when you come down to it, you pay more for diesel gas, right? Or diesel fuel. So you might as well just have a gas car, and because you can't always get diesel everywhere that you need for a car, you know, this kind of stuff. Why did you buy that? I said, here's why. I owned that thing many, many, many years ago when I was in high school. Anybody here in the cult of Volkswagens? Nobody, just me. Okay, well, that's fine. But what a passion I had. I had two that looked like that, one blue one. I loved them. I drove them until they dropped, which really wasn't that long, but hey, you only paid 50 bucks for them at the time. That's my present-day pickup. And some of you may say, why does he have to drive a pickup? I'll tell you why. I owned that, too, for a little while, right after I got out of high school. I bought one just like this out of a farmer's field. I thought, wouldn't that be cool to drive around? 3-speed, you know, on the tree, flathead 6, top speed 50 miles an hour. I owned one of these for about 6 months. That's a 2003 or 4 Impala. You may ask, why did I own that, besides the fact that they're a very well-made car? Because of that. That's the first car I ever owned. That is a 1970 Chevy Impala 2-door coupe with a 350. Oh, I love that car. I wish I would have never sold it, but a fireman hit me on a way to a fire, of all things. I owned one of those too. 1974 Gremlin. After owning it, now I know why American Motor Company went out of business, but remember the old commercial? Where's the rest of your car, Toots? So now I own that. That gets better gas mileage, by the way, a lot better gas mileage. But that's why I own the other thing. There we are after our motorcycle ride we had a couple weeks ago. And I am with my dog and my motorcycle. You may ask, why does he drive that? Because of that. That's what I owned when I was just about out of college at the seminary. I drove that for quite a while. I actually bought it from somebody. It was sitting behind their garage. And I was living across the alley, and I saw it. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that thing runs. I went over and talked to the owner, and he said, no, you can have it for 100 bucks if you want it. Ooh, I grabbed it up, got it running. I ran it quite a while. Bring out your treasures, both old and new. and new. Now, Matthew 13 isn't talking about cars. They didn't have them back then. Not talking about donkeys or horses either, by the way. It's not even talking about diamonds or rubies, or really not even pearls. It's not talking about gold or silver, homes, cars, millions of dollars in cash, but gems that are far greater than any of those. What is it that we have that we can bring out that's both old and new, new and old? Over the past couple of weeks, it's been given to us to possess. Have you possessed it? They are the parable of the sower, the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed, which is nicely fit into there, the treasure in a field, that's what we had for today, and that pearl of great value along with that great net that could make a great catch. These are the gems. They're earthly stories, but they have to bear heavenly truths. Heavenly truths. Earthly stories come and go, and so do the things thereof. But something that is heavenly is forever, and its value cannot be replaced. And that's what I've been offering to you over the last couple of weeks. If you have ears to listen and eyes to see, if you had ears to hear and eyes to see, you would have received these as great value that would offer, as Jesus said, abundant life. Why? Because they are secrets held back from all of creation until the time of the coming and the knowledge of the coming of Christ, His death and resurrection. Oh, people have known about this secret for forever, but not everybody will hear it and take it to heart. The secret that God does not demand of you good works which you could never bring forth because of your sin, but good works that you can bring forth because you know Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Heavenly truths, gems of great value for you. The most important thing, the thing of greatest value in all the universe. Now, do you remember the parable of the sower 2 weeks ago? Do you remember the parable of the wheat and the tares last week? Did you listen closely at the readings that were read in the gospel about the treasure in the field and the pearl of great value? Did you grab hold of them and stick them in your heart so that you could take them home with you and wherever you go and have the thing of highest value, the highest of all values, right here? Or are you kind of tired of church? You're kind of blasé. Are your ears kind of shut? Because you hear too much. Are your eyes closed? Because what you see doesn't, trip your trigger. Sadly, many don't claim these gems. Sadly, in today's world, more and more, we're finding people are biblically illiterate, not just because they don't go to church, but even more so because they don't want to hear it. It's not important. It's not true. It's of no value to them for life and living. Sadly, the greatest gems of all time, the greatest gems in all the world and all the universe are laid at their feet, and they won't grab them up. They won't take them and put them in their heart as their greatest treasure. And I always say there's only but one person to blame for that, the person who has ears but won't hear, eyes but won't see. You can blame me or anybody in the church all you want, but finally, when you stand at heaven's gates, you can't blame somebody else for the effectiveness of your ears and eyes. The parables say there will come a day when the good and the bad fish will be separated, the good will be kept, the bad will be thrown away. That's the parable for today. Unfortunately, there's seed that is scattered out there by the great and wonderful farmer of all time, and it falls on hard soil where it will not take root. Sadly, that seed which is scattered, some will be eaten up by wild animals that take control. Sadly, the weeds do grow, don't they? They grow among the wheat, and they'll choke off the plants if given the opportunity. For there is judgment, Jesus says twice among the parables. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's an explanation for the way people are when they're not brought into the kingdom of heaven. You see, there's a challenge. The challenge is, own it. Put it here. Own it. Take it for yourself. It is yours for the taking. Make it known, keep it, and share it. So Jesus says, everyone instructed in heavenly truth must bring out of his treasury treasures, both new and old. The words here for the treasury are interesting because they're spoken to poor people mostly, people with not a lot of money. What would a treasury mean to them? But the word for treasury is a very common word back then, which meant kind of more or less, your root cellar. And people had them back then. And in the root cellar, you put stuff like fruit. In many places, they put grapes in there just for a little bit before they could get them to make wine. Thus, the treasury and the treasure, the root cellar and the fruit. Put it in spiritual terms. What does it mean? Our hearts are the treasury, and the treasures are these wonderful words of Jesus, which bring forth fruit in great abundance that can be shared with all. I think, first of all, obviously enough, Christ is one of the great treasures, if not the greatest of all gems. He comes to live here by baptism. And as we grow up, we should not reject that baptism and turn it away as something that's ineffective. What's ineffective is you. The baptism is fine. It works. It's wonderful joy of God because God's name is at work in it. We reject. God keeps trying. He works. The Word of God is taught. It is preached. It works to continue to bring out that faith. And as it works, some ears will be open and some eyes will see. They will hear of the gems. They will see it. They will understand it. They will get it. And it'll be that valuable to them. And that what is exactly Christ is in our hearts. I think it's also the many, many Bible verses that we've learned over the years. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a gem to be able to put in here and to bring out from time to time, because we need it so badly in our lives. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, from Philippians 4:11. There's tons of them that you know. God put them there. Bring them out. Both new, what you're learning today, and old, what you learned many years ago. I think these gems are also experiences that we've had as individuals and as a church together. Great gems that when we come together as church, we look back and we reflect and we see how God did wonderful and great things among us, brought us together, built us up, strengthened us, and so we were able to handle all the junk that comes to the world, as it does, year by year, decade by decade, and so on and so forth. Our experiences personally that we have, and we meditate, we pray, and the heart churns, and all these gems begin to work. They turn, and we see different facets. And in all of that, we say, wow, God, he's not against us, he's for us. And who can separate us from that love? Shall hardship? No. Shall persecution? No. Trouble? Of course not. None of these things, because God is so good in our lives. I think it's also, by the way, you know, the joy that we have in Holy Communion, when we take the bread and wine, we receive the very body and blood of Christ. What a gem to know personally Jesus is present and that he's come into my life. Now I can share him. As often as you come and eat this bread and drink this wine, you therefore proclaim that Christ will return. I think another one are the hymns, the songs that we sing. By the way, the first one that we sang, I grew up with that hymn. To God be the glory, what great things he hath done. I grew up with that. So when I hear that, all of a sudden, wow, I'm transported 40 years back. Actually 50, but I don't want to go there. Back into the pew where I sat, and the joy of being with my parents as family, and my brothers and sisters, and my friends, Sunday school, dare I say it, potlucks, and all the rest of the good things that we shared in church back then. We sang those songs, we sang them together, and down deep in our hearts, where the treasure lay, there was a smile. Jesus says, keep these things in your treasury. Bring them out when the time comes. Christian life and living. Fruits of the Spirit. Peace, joy, patience, kindness, compassion, and the like. Bring them out as a natural response to what's been planted in your heart. God has been good and gracious. He's given his one and only Son. He has died for you. That death is in your heart. Your sins are forgiven. The cross is there, always reminding you that though you mess up, you can turn to him, repent, and be forgiven. The resurrection is in there. You are a new person in Christ. You're not the old Adam. You're the new Adam, who is Jesus. Not the one who was disobedient and rebellious. You are the new one, full of life and joy of God. Bring it out. Bring it out, folks. The old which you were given, even in your baptism, the gospel from the beginning of time, the old, the love of God given and shared with you that's made all the difference in your life and brought you to the place where you are today. Bring it out. Let it be new in the life you live this week. I began with the Volkswagen. I'll end with it. I guess there aren't any VW lovers here, but there was last week. I won't give you his name because of what you might do to him. You know, Hitler's curse on America, that's what the bug was. It's now kind of a cult. Hard not to love, though, what you drove when you were 17, 18 years old. We were sharing the joys of the old, the experiences we had with our little VWs, our bugs, and the times we had together. I remember one time we went off the road in winter. A buddy of mine by the name of Bob was driving, and the shoulder was not as wide as he thought. He went over the shoulder, and it pulled him down into the ditch. So we went home, and he got his dad's tow truck. Dad had a tow truck. We brought it back, and Bob said, "Here, put the chains on, and I'll pull it out." I put it around the motor. You know what he did? He pulled the motor off. Oh, these were great and wonderful times. But you could tell the zest and the zeal we had as we shared these stories, one with the other. Bringing out what the old was in a new way. And you know, looking back at that story, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world when it happened, having to walk home in the cold, you know, and having to tell his dad the motor's no longer in the car. But even though over the years the story's become fresh, it's become enjoyable to tell, brings back good times. You know, you folks are blessed with all the love of God. This has made a great difference in your life. There's been many joys throughout the years because of this. There's no reason why you can't bring it out in the stories you tell and the life you live in a new and valuable way for life and living, not only for your own good, but those that you meet regularly, even your family. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say,